Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Lutheran here in Warren, Oregon on this Resurrection Sunday. Today I'll be preaching from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you heard of the legend of the touchstone? According to that ancient legend, if you find the touchstone on the coast of the Black Sea and hold it in your hand, everything you touched would turn to gold. You could recognize the touchstone by its warmth. The other stones would feel cold, but when you picked up the touchstone, it would turn warm in your hand. Once a man sold everything he had and moved to the coast of the Black Sea in search of the touchstone. He began immediately to walk along the shoreline, picking up stone after stone in his diligent and intentional search for the touchstone. He was consumed with this dream. He wanted desperately to find this miraculous stone. However, after several days had passed, he suddenly realized he was picking up the same stones again and again. So he devised a plan. Pick up a stone. If it's cold, throw it into the sea. That he did for weeks and weeks. Then, one morning, he went out to continue his search for the touchstone. He picked up a stone. It was cold. He threw it into the sea. He picked up another stone. Cold. He threw it into the sea. He picked up another stone. It turned warm in his hand. And before he realized what he was doing, he threw it into the sea. Is there anyone here attending their very first Easter church service? Probably not. Most of us have attended so many Resurrection Sunday services that they can become dulled by the routine. Oh, we still enjoy the special music and the lilies. At some churches, there may be a skit, a trumpet, or a timpani, a special choir singing. And of course, the Easter breakfast, and maybe even an Easter egg hunt on the church lawn. Well, Easter is a miraculous moment. We can feel it turn warm in our hands. And yet, before we realize what we are doing, we throw it away. Absent-mindedly, we toss it aside, missing the miracle, and we go on with everyday life. The miracle is that thanks to the resurrection, nothing in history will ever be the same. Jesus coming back to life and rising from his tomb changed the trajectory of human life. Death is no longer the final word. Death is now a yes, but. Yes, we physically die, but in Christ, we rise again with a new and improved body to live in eternal joy and peace. But something else has changed. We are left to finish writing the book of Mark. Have you noticed that before? Open a Bible to the 16th chapter of the book of Mark. In chapters 14 and 15, we have the betrayal of Jesus, the betrayal by Judas, the denial of Peter, the desertion of the disciples, the mock trial, and the crucifixion and burial of Jesus. In chapter 16, we read that some of the female disciples go to the tomb at sunrise on Sunday morning to anoint the body of Jesus. And when they arrive, they see the stone has been rolled away and the tomb is open. They enter the tomb only to find a young man dressed in a white robe sitting near where the body should be. As angels do, he tells them, "Do not be afraid." Then the angel tells the women, "He is risen. He is not here. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Verse 8, "And the women went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid." End of chapter. End of book. The Gospel of Mark ends with a sentence that in Greek is grammatically awkward, ending rather abruptly and with a preposition, something one does not do in Greek. The other three Gospels continue with post-resurrection accounts. Why not Mark? Apparently, this bothered some of the early monks who were given the job of copying Mark's Gospel. It appears they assumed the final pages of Mark's Gospel were lost, so they added their own tidy ending. Most Bibles have a note after verse 8 informing the reader that the most reliable early manuscripts did not include verses 9 through 20. But let us consider, just for a moment, that the Gospel of Mark ends just the way the author intended, that Mark left the story hanging on the moment of failure for a reason. Commentator Pastor Williamson offered this remark: "When is an ending not the end? When a dead man rises from the tomb and when a gospel ends in the middle of a sentence." Maybe Mark believed that the story is not over, so he leaves an open ending to his gospel as an invitation for us to enter the post-resurrection story. Mark gives us a clue in the very first verse of his gospel. You remember that Mark does not give the readers a genealogy or a nativity story. Verse 1 of chapter 1 is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Again, not even a complete sentence. It sounds more like a title. Mark says right at the beginning that his writing is only the beginning of the good news of what God did through Christ Jesus. The resurrection is not the end. It is the start of the post-resurrection story. St. Luke gave us a post-resurrection story in the book of Acts, where we see believers announcing everywhere they go that Jesus is risen. Mark invites us, the readers, to pick up where these women left off. Now it is up to us to share the good news announced by the angel at the empty tomb. It is up to us to announce, "Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed." People often wonder how someone can believe in a loving God when they witness all the suffering and injustice in the world. It's because the story is not over. God's plan is not complete. He is still at work. We are living in the midst of the gospel story. Mark is inviting us to jump into the story and carry the good news for the few chapters that make up our lives. The angel at the tomb told the women that Jesus was going ahead of the disciples to Galilee. Why Galilee? because that was home to many of the disciples. So it makes sense that they would return there. What he was saying was that Jesus would be waiting for them back home. Jesus was waiting to join them in their daily lives. It's easy to see the risen Christ in our Easter Sunday worship services. But after the Easter celebration, we will go back home. Home to unmade beds and piles of dirty dishes after the holiday dinner. Home to diapers that need changing and weeds that need to be pulled. Home to tomorrow's chemo treatment and the crumbling marriage. And the risen Christ has gone ahead of us. Christ goes ahead of us through the trials, the sufferings, and death. Jesus goes ahead to walk beside us. And Jesus goes ahead to claim us in the resurrection from the dead. Because you see, the gospel story is still unfolding, and it will continue until the risen Christ returns in all his glory. Yes, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.